AP station categories, Outstanding News Operation Radio Division, WHQR Public Radio, Wilmington, North Carolina. The congressman says that his campaign was positive and focused on the economy in the run-up to Election Day. He says that was the key.
I think there were probably a number of different issues that folks were voting on. In southeastern North Carolina, I think there's
At Tuesday's meeting, council members lavished praise on the community and city employees who worked through the storm. Tony Cottle is deputy city manager.
These folks have done things for you and done things for the community that you should never expect of folks like this.
The list of things to do after a hurricane can be daunting, says Daryl Habish. He's in town with FEMA to help people get the support they need.
Be sure to make a list. Take photos, because you'll need that for not only your insurance, but also if you're eligible for FEMA disaster assistance. Part of that.
From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. A gunman shot and killed five newsroom employees June 28th at the Capital Gazette in Annapolis. That tragedy at a local community paper, which has been in business for nearly 300 years, yes, that's older than the United States, has rattled newsrooms around the country. While this event is unusual, it does raise questions about the safety of reporters today, their purpose, and the significance and trustworthiness of local journalism. What is this new environment that journalists and newsrooms find themselves in? Or has this possibility been there all along? With us today to help us explore the challenges of local journalism, the pitfalls, the limitations, and the mission, Tim Buckland, senior government and politics reporter for Star News Media. He also covers New Hanover County. Tim Buckland, welcome back to Coastline.
Hi, Rachel.
Rob Kaiser is the publisher of the Greater Wilmington Business Journal and WILMA, and a former business reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Rob Kaiser, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Benjamin Schachtman is managing editor for Port City Daily. Welcome, Benjamin Schachtman.
Thanks for having me, Rachel.
And we are, of course, encouraging you to join the conversation. Has local journalism, your local newspaper, radio, or TV station, grown or shrunk in significance for you? Tell us why. You can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Tim Buckland, the reason for this discussion about the role of local journalism is, of course, because of the Annapolis shooting. So it's fitting then that we begin by honoring those five who lost their lives on June 28th. Would you read what you posted on Facebook the day after the shooting?
Sure. Many of my friends are in the world of journalism, and many have already spoken profoundly about yesterday's horror. I didn't know Rob Hyacin, Gerald Fishman, Rebecca Smith, Wendy Winters, or John McNamara. Yet in a way, I still knew them. I know what it's like to be honest, even when honesty makes us hated.
The first reports of looting came in from Brunswick County last week, where deputies arrested four men for breaking into cars and businesses. The next day, Wilmington officials said they were seeking the suspects caught on video looting a Family Dollar store. Authorities say they've now arrested five.
Almost 100 people attended the first of three Wilmington area community meetings to discuss the test results Tuesday night at Cape Fear Community College. John Wolfe was there. He received his test results just hours before the meeting.
I don't know. You know, it's concerned. There's some fear in there. There's definitely a bitterness and an anger that this could have been prevented. And just because some unscrupulous company decided that it would be worth their profit to manufacture these, now it's suddenly my problem. And
so PFAS stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and this is a family of chemicals. Gen-X is just one example of PFAS. PFOA is another example.
Researchers from NC State say blood samples of 345 New Hanover County residents test positive for several PFAS, but not Gen-X. They found several newly identified PFAS substances. The suit comes 2 weeks after the federal government issued permits to five companies to move forward with seismic airgun blasting after they received permits from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. From the steps of the federal courthouse in Charleston, Mayor John Tecklenburg.
Our federal government is authorizing the harassment of sea life offshore. But I would contend to you that our federal government is harassing our citizens of South Carolina. And I say stop it!
North Carolina Secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality Michael Regan tells
local treatment facility Coastal Horizons and the Wilmington Police and Fire Departments manage the quick response team. Its mission is to reach overdose survivors and their family members, engage with them if they're ready to get into treatment or offer other assistance. Officials say on average more than 10 overdose survivors per month now go into treatment. Kenny House runs clinical services at Coastal Horizons. He says it helps that doctors in the region are now prescribing far fewer opioids, but that doesn't eliminate the issue.
Well, there's a life cycle to this problem, and part of it is that there was overprescribing going on of opioids. As that now gets reduced, we'll see less.
Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The U.S. House passed a resolution to affirm support for the work of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, also known as ICE, just yesterday. The non-binding resolution came in answer to a push by some Democratic lawmakers and progressive activists to abolish the agency. Democrats in the Senate blocked the resolution the same day. According to a recent NPR Ipsos poll, 65% of Americans believe U.S. employers who hire illegal workers should be fined. And 60% believe undocumented workers should get legal status if they were brought to the country as children. But the partisan differences in that poll are stark, with significantly more Republicans favoring fines for employers of the undocumented and more Democrats supporting legal status for undocumented immigrants brought here as children. In North Carolina this year, ICE conducted two widely reported raids in Asheville and the Triangle because of increasing pressure on undocumented immigrants and the family separation at the border. Public outrage among opponents of those policies have held immigration rallies across the nation and in Wilmington. Today, we're looking at how the local conversation is evolving. Is the Cape Fear region as divided as Capitol Hill? It's a closer look at some of these questions, the role of ICE, and options for immigrants facing deportation. With us today, Helen Terokich. She's a North Carolina board-certified immigration attorney and is the owner and manager of Helen Terokich Law, PLLC. Helen Terokich, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Also joining us via Skype from Atlanta is Brian Cox, spokesperson for the Southern Region of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. Brian Cox, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. How do you think policymakers should treat those who come to this country seeking asylum, those who cross the border illegally? What kinds of conversations are you having around the family dinner table or with your friends about the issue? You can call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And Brian Cox of ICE, just as a clarifier, explain to us what ICE has to do with family separation and indeed any activity at the U.S. border.
Sure. Good question. And the short answer is very little. That ICE is the interior enforcement component under the Department of Homeland Security. So for encounters at the border itself, that falls under U.S. Customs and Border Protection to include the Border Patrol. So in a nutshell, for people to think about how the enforcement system works, you have a component at the border at what's called ports of entry. That is typically at the border where people are crossing the border, or also things such as airports
and redemption. It brought up another challenge facing the new Board of Education. Is racism driving policy? Nelson Beaulieu is serving his first term on the board. He won election last November.
It's a huge problem. And, you know, we have to talk about it. We have to be honest about it. But the point is, if we want to understand how we got here. We can't just look at the last 10 years, the last 15 years. We have to have somewhat of an understanding, a full understanding of race and the issues surrounding race in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's a full history. It's not always a pleasant history.
Reverend Dante Murphy with the Southern Coalition for Equal Protections Under the Law brought up several past cases where he alleged that officials mishandled or covered up wrongdoing within the schools.
Joe Biden, former Vice President of the United States, stated during a speaking engagement on January 21st of this year that white America has to admit that there is still a systemic racism. Likewise, in Morsa, New Hanover County school system and its citizen has to admit to a history of systemic racism that now hinges on corruption and co-conspiracy by its top administrators, attorneys, and now a school board refusing to take these matters seriously.
More than 600 people packed the North Brunswick High School gym Tuesday evening for the second public meeting on Cape Fear Crossing. Attendees were young and old, retirees and entrepreneurs, but most all of them now share one thing in common.
Oh my God, I want to get out.
Rhonda Florian moved here 3 years ago.
Very much. If I understand the route correctly, I'll be able to open my front door and look out and see the trucks and the containers in the air. They'll be close enough I'll be able to read the writing and see if they came from China or South America or wherever they came from.
Rhonda and her husband came to Brunswick County for health reasons. Her husband has MS. She is his caretaker.
Our health has improved dramatically. I grew up in New Bern, but my husband is a Jersey boy. Our health improved dramatically because of the climate and the serenity, the peace, the quiet, the calm. The noise, the confusion, the chaos, the pollution, the light pollution that this will bring will absolutely destroy any kind of healthful, peaceful life we're able to have in this home.
That's a common refrain at the meeting, along with the big question, what about the value of my home? There are six designs currently on the table connecting Brunswick and New Hanover counties via the new bridge. At this week's meetings, DOT officials posted large maps showing. Captain Dave Tilley is starting up one of his boats in the harbor at Carolina Beach. He has fished these waters for most of his life. However, Hurricane Florence forced Tilley to take a few weeks off.
When the hurricane came through, we had a lot of damage both to the infrastructure. We missed almost all of September and the very first part of October, so I would say probably 4 weeks in total.
Tilley used to captain the big boats, 100-footers. Now he runs a charter business. As a licensed fisherman, he's still eligible for assistance from the state's Marine Fisheries Department.
But me personally, in the charter industry, I'm simply not interested. I speak fairly well for most of the charter captains around. We really don't want anything from the government. We'd just soon be left alone, and it is what it is.
Tilley says he lost $10,000 after the storm as he refunded all of those who had booked charters.
It's specific to licensed commercial fishermen, and it's based on...
You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today we're talking with Krista Turner. She's been clean and sober since joining Tides, Inc. last year, and she's telling her story as part of her commitment to helping other people get clean and also destigmatize the notion of addiction. Today's conversation is pre-recorded, and Krista, just before we went to break, you were bravely telling us about your childhood and how you were basically surrounded by adults who were not only addicted to alcohol and drugs themselves, but were also physically abusive. Your father is one of those people who was physically abusive to you. You said that he sexually abused you beginning around the age of 7 or 8 years old.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that first incident?
So, like I said, it was like 7 or 8 years old, and I had stayed with him one weekend. My stepmom had gone to the store. My dad asked me It kind of started with he asked me to give him
a compound long used in the production of Teflon and many other products. It got into the water from the Chemours plant in Fayetteville. It's a man-made unregulated chemical in a family of chemicals called PFAS. Manufacturing companies use these chemicals to make products that are resistant to water, stains, and grease. These include nonstick cookware, water repellent, food wrappers, cleaning products, firefighting foam, and many others. As area residents learned more about these chemicals, they became vocal. Gen X is a byproduct of the process of manufacturing the products. It was in the Cape Fear River and in the treated water.
Roads around the region are covered with debris, with large tree limbs, even large trees, and potentially dangerous power lines. Stephen Still is New Hanover County's Director of Emergency Management and 911. He says it's the indirect impacts from hurricanes and tropical storms that are killing more people. Some of those causes?
Number one, coming out on the roads and driving around when it's not safe to do so, when they're, you know, haven't completely read the instructions on their generator, they don't...
Local officials say this is not a storm to be underestimated. By the time Florence reaches the coast Thursday night or Friday morning, it is forecast to be a powerful and dangerous hurricane. North Carolina has only been hit by one Category 4 hurricane, Hazel, in 1954. Schools have been closed, mandatory evacuation. At Bradford Products in Leland, steel is the name of the game. Mark Miller is the company's chief financial officer.
Yes, we're a manufacturer of stainless steel pools, spas, therapy vessels, steam rooms, saunas. We sell to primarily the commercial industry, resorts, hotels, developments all across the world. We have participated in projects in Kuwait, Qatar, did the Four Seasons in Moscow, several projects, the Embassy Gardens in London.
Business is good. The 150 employees are busy. Since the last recession, the company has grown. But a trade war and tariffs can change that.
Many of our producers of the stainless steel do buy steel from outside of the country to produce that product. So there's a piece of that 25% tariff. We've pretty much calculated it out to be about, it'll affect us about 6%.
And political director, it is noteworthy. This is still his 35th year in television news. John Evans, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate the invitation again.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. What surprised you about the midterms? Did you vote? Were there events or issues before the election that energized you more this year? What are those issues? Call us and tell us about it. You can reach us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Let's talk the surprises first. Tim Buckland, what happened Tuesday night that you really didn't see coming?
The biggest surprise to me was the near sweep by the Democrats in the local school board race. I thought it was very surprising that Bruce Schell found himself on the outside looking in.
Republican incumbent.
That's correct. And three Democrats are now on the school board that...
Families united! Families united!
Immigration, family separation, and ICE were front and center at Saturday's rally on the steps of Thalian Hall downtown. The Families Belong Together protest here was one of dozens held across the state and the country. Tammy Perez de Passini is the co-owner of Folks Cafe on Princess Street and an immigrant from Ecuador. She says that many people are too scared to go back to their native countries.
I cannot go back to a country that I will be dead, or I'm going to see my kids dying of starvation. But this situation, it's marked to feel people scared. Latinos were target to scare every other immigrant. But you know what you guys did great?